And now to Germany and how the country has handled testing for COVID. Europe as a continent has pushed ahead of the U.S. in vaccinating its people. According to the University of Oxford's Our World in Data project, the European Union had a comparatively subdued summer of COVID caseloads, hospitalizations, and deaths. Have you visited Germany or another country during the pandemic? How do you compare their approach to fighting the pandemic with the U.S.? It's 800-642-1234. Stephanie Friedhoff is a German-American journalist who has specialized in pandemic response research and policy and crisis communications. She's a professor of practice at Brown University School of Public Health. Stephanie, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate. Thank you so much for having me.
Good morning. So you visited Germany for a few weeks over the summer. What were some of the contrasts that you could draw in how the U.S. has responded versus what you saw in Germany?
Yeah, it was quite striking. You know, as soon as we got off the plane in Hamburg Airport, there was a first testing booth for anybody who needed a quick rapid test before they would go on a flight to go to some other place in Europe. And it continued through our trip. I was really struck by how testing is available everywhere for free for anybody who lives in the country. There's a popular pool we take the kids to every year. And sure enough, in the parking lot D, there was a testing tent. Hmm. So you could test the kids, you know, before you go in the pool and then be okay.
What about in terms of going to other public places like restaurants, or what did you see around schools? I know it's summer there, but what did you see around other public places?
Yeah, it was the same everywhere, that you have a couple of restaurants and there's testing available. People do mask around, you know, there's other mitigation measures such as masking, and you have reduced numbers, but not by much. Life was really going on as usual because there was, you know, ubiquitous testing. And schools specifically, the testing is so helpful because you can identify, you know, where the virus spreads, who is already infected and not. And it was quite striking how everybody was participating also in these measures.
How did you show your proof of vaccination? What was that like?
Ooh, we had fun with our little CDC cards. everybody had their proof of vaccination on an app on the phone. Even my 86-year-old in-laws did. But not everybody, you know, had been eligible to be vaccinated when we were there. So the country had invested in testing and other measures to keep people safe.
Did you and your family get tested while in Germany at these yes. rapid test sites?
Yes, we did. We did get tested. We also, you know, for 95 cents, you can buy a test in any store. So we also did home testing. We were really hoping to keep our friends and family safe. We traveled from state to state. You know, we went out and about a lot. And obviously in a pandemic, that's not what you usually do, unless you can, you know, make sure it's highly likely that you're not infectious. So we use these tests really to be free and see family after 2 years of being away.
That sounds like a very modest amount. You can buy a rapid test in drugstores for about $1. Who is paying for all these tests?
Yeah, the German government is. The government really decided early that we needed these tests for the public good, and made sure that there was the right incentives for the makers of industry to produce those tests and distribute them. It invested in healthcare workers and lab technicians who could administer the tests and then make the free tests available really to anybody. I have a friend who has a very sick husband, and she was super isolated all last year. And this year she could use those tests to just test anybody who comes to her house. It's 15 minutes. You wait a moment outside, and then you're ready to go in and see each other.
What was the cost of your testing before you went to Germany in order, you know, to get on that plane?
Oh, dear. We paid $500 for 4 rapid tests for my husband, I, and our 2 children. because there we live in Massachusetts, so free testing technically is available, but in order to get an appointment, we had to wait much longer than we could. The airline had just tested the requirements for vaccinated people to be tested. So, and we all know it's a mad scramble right now to get a test, especially for travel reasons if you don't have symptoms.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Stephanie Friedhoff, who's a professor at Brown University School of Public Health, and she's talking to us about her recent trip to Germany and how Germany is handling the pandemic compared to the U.S. Let's go to Karen in Madison. Hi, Karen. What is your experience?
Well, I'm actually working at the World Dairy Expo that's happening in Madison right now, and a lot of the European exhibitors weren't actually able to come to the U.S. I was told by one of our German exhibitors that while they were able to get their visas within a few days, colleagues from Scandinavia and France weren't able to get permission to come. And then also at the expo, anyone at the expo can get a free COVID test, through Friday from 10 to 12. So that if they need to get back to their country with tests, they can get that done. It's the same as the rest of the Dane County testing program. And I believe we've also got vaccinations available, but don't quote me on that. Although I guess we're on the radio. So I just
Karen, what is turnout like at the Wisconsin Dairy Expo? Approximately how many people?
I don't have numbers, but usually we would be for international guests, usually by the end of the show, it's a one-week show, we would have 2,500 to 3,000, and we had just over 100 registered yesterday.
Wow, that's a big difference.
Yeah, our international attendees are really down. Mostly they're coming in from Latin America. Almost nobody from Europe, some from Africa, and some from the Indian subcontinent.
Yeah.
But otherwise, yeah, very curtailed.
Karen, thank you for sharing this. Stephanie, almost no one from Europe at the huge Wisconsin Dairy Expo. What do you make of that?
Yeah, it is very sad, right? It is a failure of public health in the United States. We have such high surges across the country because we're not using testing, right? In many places, we're not using some of the easy to do mitigation measures, and because of that the economy suffers, and the United States right now is considered a high risk country in Europe. We were lucky to make it back in time to make it there, but yeah, it's just we could do better.
We're talking with Brown University School of Public Health professor Stephanie Friedhoff, sharing her experiences in Germany and how one of Europe's largest countries is handling the pandemic. Have you been tested before or been on a regular COVID testing schedule? How was that experience and the effect on your daily routine? Do you think schools and employers should test people for the virus more frequently? How much is enough? Still time to talk, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Stephanie Friedhoff here in the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Glad you could be here. We're discussing Germany's response to testing in the pandemic and experiences of a public health professor who visited recently. Germany's health minister announced in recent days that the government will stop paying compensation to unvaccinated workers who are forced into quarantine, telling Reuters that it's unfair to ask taxpayers to subsidize people who refuse to get the COVID vaccine. Have you followed another country's COVID protocols like Germany? What policies elsewhere in the world should the U.S. emulate? Still time for you, 800-642-1234. Stephanie Friedhoff focuses on pandemic response research at Brown University's School of Public Health and stays with us for about 9 more minutes. Stephanie, I want to talk a little bit further about this friend whose husband has Parkinson's disease, and how has testing changed their lives?
Well, when you have Parkinson's disease, right, you're very vulnerable. COVID and COVID infection, very likely you will not survive, certainly not the stage that he is in. And that has meant for his wife, who is his caretaker at home and is trying to prevent him from having to be, you know, permanently in an institution, that she has been very isolated. She couldn't see friends. And by having these tests available, you can easily educate. The tests are so easy to use. My kids use them, you know, after the third one, they knew how to use them pretty much by themselves. The test will tell you if it didn't get enough specimen, right? If you didn't use it right, and then you just take another one because they literally are only 95 cents. So it has allowed my friend to see people, to have more help in the house. She only had two aides who were cleared and got an early vaccination to come in. And now she does no longer have to sort of carry the burden of being on 24/7 to take care of her husband.
Yeah, and she can put these rapid tests in the hallway outside her apartment, I understand, and visitors can take one and then just wait for the results.
Yes, indeed. That's how it works. There's a little testing station in the house. Yeah,
that seems very handy. Are German residents okay with all this testing, or has there been backlash?
Not really, not significantly. Germans don't mind. Testing hasn't been politicized the same way as testing and masking and a number of other things have in the United States. It's just something that you do to keep everybody safe. Mm-hmm. And the news you mentioned earlier about no longer paying for people who are not vaccinated, it's really important to understand that underneath that is a system, a social safety net that so far, if you have tested positive for COVID, right, you would be provided with everything you need if it is help finding a hotel room for quarantine, and that would be paid, by the way. And there's no worry about sick days. People will bring you food if you need it. So there are way fewer barriers for testing or vaccination than there are in the United States because of that social safety net. And yet politicians are now using it in order, or the authorities are using it in order to drive more people towards getting vaccinated. But it's really important to understand that that is like an underlying current that doesn't exist for everybody in the United States.
Yeah, certainly a contrast. You know, here the pandemic has really been hyper-politicized, and the divisions over wearing masks and taking tests, getting vaccinated. Why do you think that Germany is different?
Well, as anybody who's grown up between two cultures and lived in more than two, I've thought about this question so much over the past 18 months. I do think that this the social safety net question is really important. Germany is essentially a consensus society. We try to take care of each other, and the United States is an individualist society. And I think that is a fundamental difference. The politicization, you know, the political systems are so different. There's a little bit of that going on, but not so much. Like, politicians are not harvesting the pandemic for their individual gain. And that is what we're seeing in the U.S.
We're talking with Stephanie Friedhoff, who is a professor at Brown University School of Public Health, talking about her recent trip to Germany and how the country has handled the pandemic compared to the U.S. With your experiences as well, join in at 800-642-1234. You know, of course, the German election on Sunday brought a shift in power from Angela Merkel's Christian Democratic Union Party to the left-leaning Social Democratic Party. Do you expect, Stephanie, to see a shift in the pandemic response in any way because of the shift in power?
No, I don't. Not so much, because the parties work much closer together. And because we have a multiple party system, they have been required to form coalitions in one way or another for the past 50 years. So there isn't the deep rifts between the parties that you see in the United States. And again, there is a joint belief that we can only get out of this pandemic together, and that unites the country.
you know, sometimes that empirical data, the observations on street level, they contrast with the metrics that we're seeing on dashboards. And I think that might be the case with Oxford's Our World in Data project. And I was looking at it and it shows that the U.S. is in line with other countries on testing and even slightly above Germany for testing per 1,000 people. And the UK, it's showing, is a huge outlier, performing many more tests than the rest of the world. What do you make of the contrast between the metrics and experiences in country on the ground?
I think one key difference here is that all the individual tests that we do are not counted.
Ah,
right? So all the tests I buy in the store and do with my kids at home, they're not counted. So that is a key difference. And could you repeat the question?
No, that's okay. Yeah, I mean, I was just looking at, as the dashboards say one thing and your experiences really show another thing, it might be that these rapid tests are making all the difference here.
Yes, I do believe so. The rapid tests are making all the difference.
How often do you go back to Germany, or are you thinking about another trip?
Next summer, I hope. We go once a year.
Yeah, yeah. What is it like comparatively when there hasn't been a pandemic and you've gone back to Germany? Is it strikingly different?
It was strikingly different. There really has been a coming together, and now we often see in the news the negative parts of what's going on, and there are now Trump supporters and all those things. But you understand that life is precious and that you're excited to see each other. Mm-hmm. And I've been really grateful to have the chance to go this summer, in part thanks to those measures.
Stephanie, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Stephanie Friedhoff is a German-American journalist specializing in pandemic response research policy. She is a professor of practice at Brown University School of Public Health. Just ahead, it is a Northwestern University law professor and her new book that explores why male sexual abusers are given far more credibility than the women who come forward with assault allegations. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.